Are you ready? Sea of Red, it's time for another Fireside Chat, the official podcast of Flames fans. It's go time.
Well, we are 31 games into the season, and the Calgary Flames are now on a five-game losing streak. As always, I'm Dan alongside Matt, and Matt, I don't really know what to say this week.
Yeah, well, Markstrom was in that.
For three games in a row, they're trying to get him back to his starter form.
Well, he's been back to his form. He was good in the first one. Less so in the last two, and yeah.
If we're going to make observations like Markstrom was in net, we could also make an observation that Daryl Sutter wore a suit and stood behind the bench.
True. But, you know, one has a positive impact on the game. The other, not so much.
Especially in the first couple minutes, but let's break it down. At the beginning of the week, on December 12th, the Calgary Flames took on the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. Cole Caulfield left this game early for an injury, and Markstrom was in net, stopped 37 goals for Calgary in a 2-1 Calgary loss. The only Flame that scored was Jonathan Huberdeau in regulation, and this one went to a shootout. What were your thoughts on this one, Matt?
Yeah. This was the one game this week that Markstrom, I thought, played rather well.
Yeah, I'd agree.
The Flames were not very good through a good portion of this game, and then realized that they were playing Montreal, stepped it up a bit, and then kind of faded once again. But it's just a lack of execution from the offense entirely. Them getting points in overtime, even though they're losing lately, has been more the play of the goaltending. By and large, the Vancouver game was kind of a little bit of both, but in this Montreal game, like, the Calgary just could not execute despite getting a ton of shots.
Yeah, you know, this was the first game, I'd say, where I really thought that, or at least maybe not the first game all season, but in, you know, I'd say the last couple weeks or even the last month, let's say, where I thought Huberdeau really looked like he was on his game. He got a goal in regulation. He got a goal in the shootout. I thought that Huberdeau was starting to look like that elite player that Calgary just signed to a long-term deal.
Yeah, and I think that, like, the concerns about Huberdeau are largely premature. He's very much a elite player. It's just he's not used to playing at all in a north-south style system, and certainly not with the defensive focus that he's been tasked to deal with. For like actual point suppression for the opposition, Huberdeau's actually the second best player in the NHL thus far this season. It's just that the goals for when he's on the ice is also dramatically down, and he's basically turned, like, when he's on the ice, to a low event type game, which that's fine, except he needs to generate more offense.
Well, let's come back to that idea of Huberdeau after we're done talking about the week. Next game, the Calgary Flames came home from a mini two-game homestand. They were in dark mode again, wearing the dark pedestal jerseys, playing the Vancouver Canucks. And once again, a shootout. The Calgary Flames ended up with 1 point, but dropped this game 4-3 to the Canucks. What were your thoughts here, Matt?
If Dan Vladar started this game, the Flames win this in regulation. The two goals in the first couple minutes, frankly, both shots were savable, and like, Markstrom has struggled all year with letting in the first or second shot that, you know, and in this case it was like the first and second
shot. It almost
shot.
Makes you wonder if the Flames need to start doing what they do in baseball with a starting pitcher and a relief pitcher. Do you put Vladar in for the first 10 minutes, then just put Markstrom in?
Yeah.
Or Markstrom then just let in the first one when he's in?
Probably. It's one of those things where you can tell that Markstrom isn't confident in his own game. Last year, he very rarely would give up the goal in the first few minutes. and yet he was being very confident in his game throughout most of last season and was one of the best goalies in the league. And, like, he's just not feeling comfortable, really, in how he's playing. And you can see that because he's a little too herky-jerky at the beginning, where he's a little bit out of position. He's, like, on the second goal, he crouched down a little too much, which gave an opening. Just little focus issues where if he's just confidently playing his game, those are both relatively routine saves for him. And yet, you know, and then, like, once they were down to nothing, he kind of snapped into it and buckled down and bared down on it and was able to make a handful of really good saves as the game went along. But, you know, it's one of those where he needs to figure out the first few minutes as well and be able to start the game in that mode.
And that was also true in the St. Louis game. Markstrom was in again, and in the first 5 minutes of the game at 4:07, Ivan Barbashev scored against him in, a save that should have been very savable as the Flames drop a 5-2 game here to the Blues. You know, when you're in a game like this Blues game, Matt, and you get 40-plus shots on net, you should be getting more than two goals.
Well, and that's part of the problem, and I think that the system as how it's done this year is not suiting the team at all, and in terms of how they generate offense. And when you have guys like Tkachuk and Gaudreau on the team, like, they're both very good north-south players, so, like, them generating offense off the rush for them made a lot of sense because of the fact that that's, like, their wheelhouse on how they play. Unfortunately for this current iteration, you look at guys like Tyler Toffoli, you look at Huberdeau, you look at Kadri, and they're very east-west style players where they're looking to make the passes across and, you know, set up plays and do it in that fashion. And they're kind of being shoehorned into a style that does not suit their strengths at all. And, you know, you're generating a lot of shots, but frankly, as a goaltender, if you're getting the caliber of shots that the Flames get on a nightly basis, that just helps you stay in rhythm and warm, basically, so when there is a good chance, you're loose and warm and more readily able to make those good saves when the Flames actually do get a good quality scoring chance, instead of being less worked and, you know, a little rusty, so to speak, and, you know, then a good chance comes and you have a better chance of scoring because you're not as tested. And we saw that on the other end of the ice where St. Louis got very few shots and yet basically a good portion of the scoring chances were, well, most of their shots, frankly, throughout the game were of the mid to high danger caliber shots. And, like, while they didn't take a ton of them, Markstrom was not able to get into any sort of rhythm, and five goals are behind him in short order.
You know, and the Flames had, I think they had 4 minutes in a row of power play time at one point in the second, between and even a 5-on-3 for a few seconds there. And the Blues have the worst PK in the league. Like, you've got to be able to take advantage of those chances. And I think this is something that we've seen so often during the season, of the Flames just aren't finishing. And, you know, when you've got 4 minutes on the power play against the, if not, you know, one of the worst PPs out there, PKs out there, you've got to find a way to convert.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that, like, Thomas Greiss, the goalie for St. Louis, he's not a good backup. Like, he's an average to mediocre goalie in the NHL. And yet the Flames made him look like Carey Price out there. And
wait, Carey Price wasn't in net?
Well, that's, you know, and it's frustrating because, like, as you said, the Blues, their penalty kill is abysmal, which is strange for them, frankly, because you always expect St. Louis to be reasonably good defensively, so them having a horrid penalty kill is a little weird, and, like, that's where you should be taking advantage of that team, and, like the Flames had nothing going. And I think that a large part of the problem that this team's facing is that they're just the style of play that the offense is being deployed as just does not suit the personnel.
I'll come back to that thought. I just want to point out a couple good things in this game. I think probably the best game of his career for Connor Mackey, 2 goals in this game. I was wondering if he could go out and get the hat trick. And then, of course, Connor Mackey does Connor Mackey things and pretty much costs a goal against. Like, you and I have talked about how maybe Mackey shouldn't be dressing for this team. And I thought, wow, maybe he's turning the corner. He's getting in on things. Matt, you kind of knew at some point. Weren't you just waiting for it? It's like, wow, Mackey's having a good game. When does he do his Connor Mackey things?
Yeah, it's like, wait for it, wait for it, and there it is.
And you could, could tell in that game, too. Like, after that, he just went on the bench and just, like, sunk. Like, you know, you could tell he was upset with himself.
Yeah, no, and it's frustrating because he does show flashes of being a quality NHL defenseman. It's just the mistakes when they happen are a little too glaring and blatant, and usually the puck's in the net. And how would you say, if he was on a team that was rebuilding like Arizona or whatever, him making those mistakes would help him to learn, and he could probably grow into being an NHL player. Very much like how TJ Brody, like in his first season, was a complete tire fire defensively, and yet he figured it out. And like, he just doesn't have the runway here at the moment to be able to learn on the job to be that caliber of defenseman. And it's frustrating because like, that should have been a really good night for him. And you know, like, especially it being like the last event really of his game, you know, it just leaves, you know, puts everything in a little bit of a sour note. Like, it's one thing to score 2 goals in a loss, but when, you know, like, the back-breaking goal is caused because of you, it's like, yeah, not so good.
No, and we, you know, as fans tend to remember the last thing that we saw, right, or the last memory we have. So I think that game, when we remember it, is going to be Connor Mackey, maybe, you know, not the 2 goals, but the, wow, Connor, you know, cost a goal there.
Yeah.
The other guy I wanted to point out here is Dylan Dubé. Dylan Dubé got moved up the lineup to arguably what you could probably call the first line in this one. And I thought Dubé did a really good job in that spot. I thought that he looked great. He looked he looked very composed. He looked like the Dylan Dubé we see when we're seeing a good Dylan Dubé. And you and I have talked a lot about Dubé and how streaky he can be and that sort of thing. But he really, I thought, rose to the occasion last night. What did you think of Dylan?
Yeah, I agree. And if he can bring that more often, he might find himself in that spot permanently. I thought his line mates actually were kind of dragging him down in that one, where Lindholm made a few mistakes and Toffoli was not quite as good as he normally is. And Dubé, if he can show that he can play at that caliber, then, you know, good for him, and hopefully that will help to sort of figure out some of the just deployment issues that this team has.
So, Matt, you've mentioned it a couple times already, and let's explore this idea of, you know what, maybe the style of play the team's being asked to play or is playing is not the right style for the guys we have on the ice. And you've been very positive supporter of Daryl Sutter. But if that's the case, is this an issue of Daryl not doing his job correctly, not modifying his style to the players? Is this the players not playing the way they should be? What do you think's the cause of that, if that's the case?
Well, if you look at the defensive scheme for the Flames, like, they're actually doing things in a fairly good way generally. Like, yeah, they do cause, you know, create a little bit too many odd man situations, especially lately, but in general they're doing a fairly good job of making the games easier on the goaltenders. And like, you're seeing, like, with Vladar recently, like, he's showing, you know, because of the fact the defense has been fairly good, that he's able to respond with high caliber efforts. And even Markstrom, by and large, over the last little bit, has been better than he has been, other than the first couple minutes making mistakes there. The problem is that, like, watching guys like Kadri when they were with Colorado, and Huberdeau when he was with Florida, like, they're even Toffoli with Montreal, like, they're not very well suited to the north-south game that the Flames deploy. And like, very much like Huberdeau, when he would attack with Florida, like, there would be like, usually he would be like side by side with somebody to like make passes to. And even as like the play is developed inside the zone, like, they would be more like in front of the net, like the players that he was passing to. And yet the Flames, their system generally does not have very much traffic in front of the net for whether it's Kadri or Huberdeau to pass it to. And like, Kadri last year was actually the best player at passing into the home plate area in front of the net. And yet, like, there's just nobody home.
Do you think that's Treliving bringing in the wrong guys to play in the system? Or do you think that's Daryl, you know, not looking around and saying, hey, I have different guys here. I need to modify my system. Or is that players not being able to adapt?
Well, it's one of those where, like, the system that Daryl uses is serviceable if you have the right guys. And, like, Gaudreau and Tkachuk were very much the right guys for that makeup, and that's why they were so successful last year. The problem is that, like, those were basically the two main guys on the team that were good at playing in that style, and the rest of the team doesn't really play that way. And you could even see that in games last year where, if like, Tkachuk and Gaudreau weren't carrying the majority of the load, the Flames would have a very, very hard time winning. And you're seeing that this year, where because guys like Kadri and Huberdeau are not basically being put in a place where they are being able to be successful, the team doesn't have a ton of anything else either. And so basically, like, the whole team is struggling because of the fact that the system just doesn't equate to the type of team that they have. And, like, that's where the frustrating part is with this team, is that it's not like they're bereft of offensive talent. Like, this team could and should be an elite team if they were meshing offensively, and for whatever reason they're not. And, like, you see from, like, where the heat chart is with where the Flames take shots, and they're generally from the perimeter. And for me, like, when I used to play hockey, the further the shots were away, the very much less chance those pucks had of going in. And Calgary is very much a shoot from anywhere because, hey, Corsi's, you know, the number advanced stats look good. And it's kind of a, you know, you're basically turning over the puck because you're not really getting any quality to those shots. Because, like, maybe one in, like, 500 of those shots go in from the perimeter, just straight in. And, you know, like, you're doing all the work to get the puck into the zone, and then you're taking really poor shots. And, you know, like, if you look at other teams, like, I saw an article talking about the New Jersey Devils, and, like, they've been surprisingly successful this year. And if you look at a heat map of where they're taking their shots, they're all right in front of the goaltender. And it's, like, right at the crease and up, 6 feet in front of the net, like, right in that zone. That's where the majority of their shots are coming from. and they're scoring left, right, and center. And you look at the Flames, and it's like the exact opposite. The Flames are getting zero shots, basically, per game from that area. And, you know, it's not really a shock why the Flames aren't scoring. Like, we're just not playing... Like, yeah, the Flames get 35, 40 shots a night, but that's also the reason why the Flames are making other teams' goalies look so good, because they're just pathetically easy shots to save. And, you know, it's frustrating because, you know, like, if you look, even last year, you would have guys like Gaudreau and Tkachuk feeding either Gaudreau or Tkachuk or Lindholm, and they were all right in front of the net for the shot, and they would score. And, like, we're not seeing anybody getting pucks in that area or taking shots from that area. And that's, you know, it's frustrating because, like, at no point really in the St. Louis game was I thinking, like, the Flames were having any dangerous scoring chances. And, like, they were able to score two goals, but, like, that easily could have been a shutout for St. Louis, and it's just frustrating to see.
I don't want to say that the Calgary Flames should fire Daryl Sutter, but I do think that if Sutter's trying to coach a system that isn't the right system for the players he has, you have to start looking at, you know, maybe that a coaching change needs to be made there. Now, we know the Calgary Flames, and my hesitancy was saying that, have not hired the best coaches over the last little bit. And when I look at the coaches that are available and who's, you know, without a job right now, really the only NHL coaches I'd say that, you know, are available would be Claude Julien and Alan Vigneault, who are NHL quality, neither of which I really want to see behind the bench here. You've got to start asking yourselves, like, you can't just say everybody do it Sutter's way. If Sutter's way is not working with the players on the ice, I think there has to be at some point this season a discussion of, is he the right guy?
Oh, and I agree. And, you know, this team...
I don't want to fire him and then look for a head coach, but maybe they need to be looking in advance for that coach that is the right guy.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because, like, the Flames... Basically, how everything is being deployed, other than how they generate their offense, is very good. And, you know, and the team will be successful if they can modify how they generate their offense while keeping basically every other part of the game the same. And because, like, you can see, like, they're only limiting, like, other teams most nights to getting, like, 18 to 25 shots, which that's good. And they're keeping generally the scoring chances low against, which that's good. It, you know, and if you can figure out the offensive side of things where you're actually making things work for the personnel you have, like, that this team could be an elite team. But the Flames offense has basically been neutered because none of the players play that way, and you know, and it's just literally the wrong system. Yeah. For the personnel,
and that's it. I mean, I think Daryl's a great coach here, but we know when Daryl Sutter comes in, just like when, you know, any coach comes in, they have their style, and you know what a Daryl Sutter team's going to be. And I think we could maybe debate, did Treliving put the right players on the ice for a Daryl Sutter team? I think Treliving put the players on the ice he could get with the scenario that he was in, but I think a coach has to adapt to the players they've got, and if they don't, at some point you've got to find those players that coached for those players.
Yeah, and, like, this team is starting to make me, remind me of the St. Louis Blues the year that they went on to win the Stanley Cup, where, like, they were just terrible for, like, until the middle end of January. And the system just did not fit their personnel whatsoever. And they fired their coach and got a coach that actually... his system, Craig Berube, suited the personnel they had, and they were basically unbeatable from that point. And it's like the Flames just need to find some way, either with the coaching staff changing how they do things or getting a different coach, to unlock their offense, because they have, and we can see it when they do pop off, and like they can go and score 5, 6, 7 goals without any real difficulty. It's just, you know, being able to have a system in place where those guys can do those kind of things, because like frankly, like the offensive talent on the team is not very much different from Gaudreau.
No, it's not.
And like the overall talent on the team is not very much different from last year, and yet, you know, from being a top 10 team offensively, now they're like 28th, 29th, 30th in most categories, and it's like you gotta change up how you do things at that point. And you know, and we're even seeing like when the Flames brought up Matthew Phillips, you know, like here's a dynamic offensive player, and you know, and I know like the expectation of him getting, you know, like being a savior is unrealistic, but you know, he is very much an East-West type player and very good at generating offense in that way, and yet he got 5 minutes a night for the 2 games that he played and then got sent back down, and you know, like was never really given any runway to let him show what he could actually do at the NHL level. And he did generate some scoring chances in his limited action, but because his style of play didn't match Sutter's, he didn't play. And like, it's frustrating, like a team that is struggling offensively like that, he, like if he was put in the way that like the rest of the team, how they generate offense, if the system suited that, like that would be fitting Phillips to a glove, you know, like it perfectly, because like that's exactly how Phillips plays. But it's just frustrating because, you know, like it's like the team just can't get out of their own way at this point.
And I worry, just again based on past Flames history, I mean, if Daryl Sutter were the guy that gets the axe, nothing against him, but I feel like they would just go internally to Kirk Muller as the head coach, who I'm not sure is ready yet. Like, I think in that case, if you think you can run, you've got to bring in a guy like Claude Julien or someone who is an experienced coach in the league again. I don't think you go with, you know, a Glenn Gullitson or, you know, Ward or any of these guys the Flames have had in the past little bit. And I don't know that they would do that, and that's my worry.
Yeah, no, and I think that, like, if they decide to move on from Sutter, that they'd probably go into the cheapy coaching mode again instead of, you know, because, like, Alain Vigneault would probably be what the doctor ordered for this team, based on, like, his time with the other teams that he's coached. He's very good at figuring out offensive systems that and catering them to the team that he plays for.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know, it's just frustrating because like this team should not be bad.
No.
And you know, like a fail for this team would have been second in the division or third in the division, and like right now they're fifth, and you know, not looking like they're gonna find their way north of that anytime soon. And it's just, you know, like you're on a 5-game losing streak again. And, you know, like you had a good stretch in the prior 5 with going 4-1. But, like, this team shouldn't be this streaky. And, like, especially with the quality of opponents, you know, being less, like, this team should be running roughshod over, like, Montreal and Columbus over the last 2 weeks were as close to gimme games as you can get. And yet we managed 1 point. And, you know, like even the Vancouver and St. Louis games, they should have at least got 2 or more out of that. And again, 1 point. And like at some point, like this just gets unacceptable. And
while it's,
you know, especially
while it wouldn't,
especially because of how good they are.
While it wouldn't, Alain Vigneault would not be my preference. I would prefer that over, you know, Muller.
Yeah.
At least he's an NHL guy who has NHL experience. And like you said, I think Vigneault has shown, you know, Montreal, Vancouver, New York, Philly, he's coaching a lot of systems. And I think more than a guy like Daryl, he's able to change his system or come up with a system based on who's on the team.
Yeah, and you know, and it's good that you know, and I think like at the same time we're being a little bit critical, overly so, of Darryl as well, because like the defensive side of things, you know, the team is doing really well
for sure,
and it's just, you know, he needs to get a little bit more flexible on, you know, not my way or the highway offensively, because like it just. Really, the personnel do not suit that at all.
No, and I'm not saying it's time to go make that change at all. You know, I think at some point here, as we're, you know, nearing the end of the middle of the season, you have to, that discussion has to come up.
Yeah, like, it, frankly, like, if this, we're still having this kind of play, like, this time next month, then, you know, I think that you're getting into the, yeah, if you want to salvage the season, you got to fire the coach. And, it, you know, it, and it's will increasingly become a, you need to do this if you want to actually make the playoffs this year, because, you know, things are off the rails right at the moment.
Yep. Yeah, I don't disagree. Matt, you know, and you've mentioned a lot here, and we've talked a lot about in the past, the Flames are not playing terribly in these games. Like, they're getting shots, no. They're getting chances, they're, you know, they're in the thick of things. Sure, maybe we're having some lapses when Markstrom's in net, but when I look at this, Toffoli, Rogiczka, and Dubé have been our best offensive forwards. That's awesome for them, but that's not good for the entire team. There's no way those guys can be your top forwards on a contender. When we often see on nights, you know, that the goalies look good, the rest of the team doesn't look good. When the rest of the team looks good, the goalies don't. And when it comes down to it for me, I think the Flames are missing finishers. And we've talked about this in the past. I don't think that Huberdeau is a goal scorer. I think he's a playmaker. And I think they're trying to figure out who does he make those plays to. And at some point, you can only shuffle the deck chairs you've got. You can't just go out and get that guy. But I guess, you know, 31 games in, when I look at this, I'm trying to figure out, why can't they finish? What do you think?
Well, and I think Huberdeau's main problem is that, like, the team just does not play the style that he's used to or accustomed to with Florida. And that's fine. It's
but at some point, you're a professional getting paid millions of dollars. Figure it out.
Well, true. How would you say? Huberdeau's very much the type of guy who can thread the needle across with passes across the ice right on the stick of players and make like the highlight reel passes and all that. It's just that the problem that he's having is that the players are not where he needs them to be to take the shots that they need to in order to score. And like the Flames just are not getting players into the high danger scoring areas where Huberdeau is able to find those guys for the good shots. And frankly, I'm finding that he's doing everything that he's supposed to. It's just that the players that he is sending the pucks to are not where they're needing to be to generate the offense. And that it's more a system problem more so than the personnel, because we've seen Huberdeau making a bunch of good passes, and yet, you know, like the guy will be way too far up from the goalie where the guy takes the shot and the goalie makes the easy save. And it's like, well, of course the goalie's going to make the save from there. It, you know, like when the guy's well up beyond the hash marks, and you know, it's just like when he was with Florida, like his line mates, they would, you know, crash the net basically, and he'd find the passes to guys like Sam Bennett and Reinhardt, you know, and like they'd be in front of the net and they'd be going right to the net, and he'd find the pass right through the gut defenseman as they're streaking in for the goals. And you know, like, that's why those guys scored 30 goals each last year. And you're not seeing that from, because, like, Lindholm and Toffoli do not drive the net. And, frankly, none of the other players do in this system, because that's not where the Flames are deploying their personnel.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that is a systems issue. I mean, you know, guys, I just like, and I think we saw this even last night, trying to put Dubé on you know, the top line. I'm starting to wonder just how much we're maybe missing more pieces than we thought. It feels like our lineup's got a lot of playmakers on it, and it doesn't feel like we've got a lot of pure scorers after losing Johnny. I think, you know, I still don't know what Mangiapane is. I think he could be that. But, you know, we've talked about maybe missing a piece, and maybe really what the Flames have to do is not so much acquire one more winger, but sort of make a hockey deal to bring in a different type of player.
Well, like, even bringing up Mangiapane, like last year when he'd score his goals, most of them he was standing right near the front of the net, and he'd bang home rebounds, and you know, or be you know, like 7 or 8 feet in front of the crease and fire wrist shots and score. And this year, I have not really seen him in those areas whatsoever. And when he's having good games, like, he's getting good shots, but from further back. And you know,
well, and I don't think that's a systems issue. Like, I don't think he knows what to expect from Daryl. He's played Daryl's system. To me, that's something between the ears for that player.
Yeah, no, and that's one of those where, you know, because, like, I've been over the last month really looking at, like, when the Flames are, like, how they're deploying their personnel, and, like, very rarely, like, everybody's basically along the boards, and, like, there's just nobody standing in front of the net, and, like, even when, like, they do take point shots, like, there are very few people in front of the net to take, you know, to tip the puck. And like, it's just, they're making it way too easy for the other teams, and it's just befuddling, because, like, the personnel should know that, you know, like, whether it's a system issue or not, that, like, you have to get to the front of the net, and literally nobody is doing that. Whether it's Kadri, Huberdeau, Lindholm, he scored most of his goals last year with Gaudreau or Tkachuk feeding the puck from behind the net out to him, and he'd take the wrist shot and score, and yet he's not even parked in front of the net at any point, really. And it's just frustrating to see, because, like, the whole team just does not seem to drive the important area at all. And,
well, even going to the other side of the ice, you know, I mean, we've talked about Markstrom and, you know, him not feeling comfortable. His defensemen really haven't changed since last year. He's got pretty much the same guys that were here last year. The way those defensemen play, I don't think, has really changed, or the system that they're playing. So it makes you wonder what has changed for Markstrom. It's, again, got to be something just between the ears.
Yeah, and it's one of those where if they can start sorting out, like, how to get guys in front of the net, and, you know, just being more cogent on the ice. You know, like, we saw too many defensive breakdowns against St. Louis, where the other team would have guys that were in the high danger scoring areas. And Markstrom, to his credit, made a number of really good saves in the first period after the one goal, and where he could have easily let in two or three more because of the quality of the chances. It's just, you know, the whole team just seems to be a little off overall. And
I could excuse that for the first 15, 20, while the Flames were, you know, starting to figure things out with a new roster. But if we look now, we're 31 games into this season. The Flames are 13-12-6 with 32 total points. Above them is Edmonton at 35, Seattle at 35, LA at 37, Vegas at 45. Like, Matt, by the end of this calendar year, we're going to be at our 40-game mark. At what point can you not be off? And at what point maybe do we have to start asking, did we overestimate this team this year? Were our expectations too high for the Calgary Flames this season?
Well, and that's a hard question to ask, because of the fact that, like, the Flames show flashes, and, like, they are showing that they can do most of the things right, and it's like, if they can figure out how to get bodies to the net, like, you look at Brett Ritchie, right, and he has been one of the best offensive players for this team. Because he goes to the front of the net, and even though he's not very good as a hockey player for generating offense, he goes to the right area and he takes his shots. And a lot of his goals have been from right in front of the net, where Lucic mostly has passed the puck from behind the net out to him, and he takes the quick snapshot and he scores. And it's like, if Brett Ritchie can do that, where is literally every other player on the team? And
we need to make a t-shirt. If Brett Ritchie can do it, so can you.
Yeah. Jan can cook, you know, so just modernize it. But, it's just, like, I think that, it, like, if they can figure out the offensive side of things where, like, they're reasonably generating actual offense instead of, you know, what they have been, and, like, reliably getting 3, 4, 5 goals a game, which they can when things are going their way, I think that a lot of the problems will start to solve themselves, and, like, I think that, like, Markstrom will settle down, and Vladar will keep up his play. I think it's just that, like, collectively, the whole team just seems to be gripping their sticks too hard and trying to do, you know, make the perfect plays instead of just doing the simple things of, like, crash the net and, you know, just doing the little things. And it's then, like, one problem happens and then, like, the whole thing snowballs. And
okay, yeah. So maybe let's think of this a different way then. Have your expectation, I think, and just to answer my own question there, I think that our expectations for the Flames, based on what they were on paper at the beginning of the season, was reasonable. And they're struggling in ways we didn't expect them to. But at this point, Matt, as we record on the 17th of December, have your expectations for this team changed now, based on what you've seen?
No. I still expect them to be one of the best teams in the West at the end of the season. And because of the fact that they're doing so many of the things right in games, it's just that, you know, like, the shoe's got to drop eventually. And if it doesn't, well, that's a different problem. And that's
okay,
where...
Okay, so how long do you, like, give it before you sort of change your expectations?
Basically, this time next month, you know, like... That if the Flames are more or less in the same waffling around the playoff spot and not, you know, having any cohesive direction, then it's like, okay, the season's in danger of being lost, make changes, and then, you know, play out the season and have a different set of expectations at that point. But, you know, it's one of those where there's enough there that, you know, it's like, if they can get out of their own way, then this team has all the parts that they need to be what we thought they were. It's just that it, as we're going on, we're not seeing that, and it's like you're waiting for the engine to turn over, and it's just not yet. And the leash gets shorter each day, but, you know, the expectations are still there that they're that good. And we're seeing that all across the Western Conference thus far this year, where, like, a lot of really good teams are playing really poorly, like the St. Louis Blues. Like, they've been dreadful this year.
Well, and I would say some poor teams like Seattle, also surprising.
Yeah, and I think that, like, at the end of the season, those things will sort themselves out. Like, I don't see Winnipeg being third in the conference at the end of the year. You know, like, Colorado will bounce back. St. Louis will bounce back. Minnesota will bounce back. Calgary should bounce back. Edmonton should bounce back. Like, I don't see both Seattle and LA making the playoffs this year. One, sure, but not both.
I guess I'm looking at this as both a fan and someone who covers the team and saying, you know what, like you said, the leash is getting shorter and shorter. We're 31 games in. If they don't turn this around, I would say in 10 games by the end of this calendar year, I think this team is going to have a really hard time, maybe not making the playoffs, but getting out of the first round. I mean, they put together a 7-game losing streak, a 5-game losing streak. Like, you've got to be able to win, you know, 4 of every 7 to win a playoff round. And every day, I'm less and less convinced that this team can go deep in the playoffs this year.
Well, and that...
For various reasons.
And it's one of those things where if they can figure out their offensive issues of not getting people to the front of the net, then I don't really see this team being any different than what our preseason expectations were.
But I guess if they could figure that out, they would have figured it out by now.
True, and it's one of those where I guess the problem is becoming more and more glaring with each game that, like, hey, this isn't working.
Yeah, I think we all kind of cut them some slack at the beginning, saying they're going to need time, they're going to need time to figure this out. 31 games is more than enough.
Yeah, like, realistically, we did start the season a little later. So, like, we had said, like, oh, by the end of November. So, give it, like, the extra week and a half or so. Okay, you know, like, now.
But we can't be sitting here at the end of January saying, just two more weeks, just two more weeks. We can't be sitting here at the beginning of April, maybe next week.
No, and it's one of those where, like, frankly, if this team is outside of a playoff spot on January 1st, then they should fire the coach, period. And, you know, something and that's not a reactionary thing. That's you've literally played half the season, and, you know, you should be, you know, on paper one of the top three teams in the West, and you're not in a playoff spot. I don't care which coach, which team, if you had the top three expectations and you're not in a playoff spot in January, every coach, even Scotty Bowman, would get fired. Like, it's like, no, like, whatever is not working, change it up. And, you know, so, like, if by then, if the Flames aren't turning it around, then, you know, it's, you know, because, I don't think that, like, just from the management side, like, Treleving had a really good offseason of managing what was, like, one of the biggest, most epically screwed up situations that any team's ever had to face, and he came away with a team that was at least on par talent-wise to the team that he had last year. And for things to be this bad, like, if it continues, like, that's not on him. And that's entirely we need to shake things up on the coaching side, because whatever is just not working at that point.
And for you, I mean, you're the guy that pushed for Sutter for so many years. For you to say that, for you to be saying that, I think that says a lot about where this team's at, too. Like you said, I think the GM did everything he could. Is it the ideal team we would have this year on paper? I don't think so. But considering, you know, the obstacles that were thrown at Treleving, he did the best job he could to put the right team on the ice. I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, the coach and the players then need to figure out the on ice. I think we've got the right players to put together a winner. I don't think that they're necessarily being coached correctly. So I think the only other thing there to say, as much as we love Daryl and he's a great coach, you got to find the right coach for those players. We've tried to make those players Daryl Sutter players. That's not working. So the only other thing then might have to be move on from Daryl.
Yeah, and, you know, and, like, I've been the most ardent supporter of Daryl since well before we even hired him. And it's one of those where results matter at the end of the day. And, you know, like, if your team is, like, it would be one thing, like, if the Flames were just bad, you know, and, like, you replace Gaudreau and Tkachuk with just average first line, second line guys, where it's not, like, they're not good, like, not even of the same caliber as those two, then sure, the Flames being in this spot, that would make entire sense. But, you know, like, Huberto finished second in the NHL last year in points. Kadri had 90 points last year. Like, you know, Uyghur was one of the best defensemen in the NHL. You know, like, they got highly talented guys in return, that not very much different from what departed. And yet, like, the team went from being elite to, you know, not really a playoff team. You know, the puck has to stop somewhere, and it you know, and unfortunately, because of the fact that the offensive system does not match any of the players on the team at all, you know, that's a coaching issue.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I want to be clear here, me, and I don't want to speak for you, but I think, you know, speaking for you as well, none of us are saying go out and fire Daryl today. We still think Daryl Sutter is a good coach. We still think Daryl Sutter can help here, but we're getting to the point where we don't have a lot of other options.
No, and it's like you're seeing online, like, some fans going, like, oh, Huberto's, like, the worst guy, you know, and we're going to have an albatross contract and that. And no, Huberto's actually doing all right. It's just that none of the players that he passes to are in the spots that they're supposed to because the system's not right. Well, that's
the system's not
him.
Right for these guys. I think Daryl's system can still win a cup with a different group.
Yeah, but you know, like there are certain guys that are just really good north-south players, and like if you look at like the team that he won the cup with a couple times in LA. Like, Anze Kopitar is one of the best north-south guys in the league. And, you know, and you go through their whole rosters those years, a lot of those guys are very good north-south players. So their system was, like, perfectly tailor-made to that team, and it worked. But most of our guys are very good east-west guys. And, it, you know, like, the system just does not suit at all. Well, what you're seeing, and you know, like you would see, like when Huberto was with Florida, like he would be, say, like off on the side boards and that, and like there would be one guy high in front of the goalie, generally like about 7 feet from the crease, like directly in front of the goalie, and the other guy would be low for like a cross ice pass. And, like, Huberto would have an option either to fire it to the guy that was closer to the red line for, like, the short angle shot, or the high guy for, like, the point blank shot. And you're not seeing either of those guys getting deployed in that way by Calgary, because the one guy will be behind the net and the other guy will be on the half wall on the other side. And it's like, well, who's supposed to shoot? And so Huberto's options are to pass it to the guy behind the net, which that doesn't help score, or the guy at the blue line, which also doesn't help score. And okay, cool. You know, and it's one of those things where, like, just the offense, it just is not set up right for how any of these guys play. And it's just frustrating because that should be a relatively easy fix. And We're not seeing it.
I'm going to say, to answer my question about if the expectations have changed, I don't know that management here. I think Daryl Sutter is very much in favor with the GM, with the owners. I don't know that they would move on from him mid-season. And because of that, I think my expectations have changed. If we keep doing the same thing over and over, what's the old definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? Because I don't know if they would move, especially after just re-signing him, I don't know if this ownership group, this management group, is willing to do that mid-season. And if not, my expectations have changed. I think...
Oh, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
I think if we don't make that change, this team is not going to go very far in the playoffs, if even make it to the playoffs.
No, like, frankly, like, if this is what you're going to get offensively, like, the system does not adapt at all. This team doesn't make the playoffs, frankly. Because there are enough teams that are in the other division that are good enough and who are struggling, like St. Louis, like Minnesota, that, like, once they get their house in order, you know, like, they're going to leave Calgary in the dust. And, you know, like, there's realistically only three teams from our division that are going to make the playoffs. And I don't see, you know, like, if this is what this team is, like, I don't see this team making the playoffs.
No, and I mean, if we look at this team and where they've invested long-term money, this has to be a playoff team. Like, you know, if this team, let's even say, I mean, and we won't have the discussion now, we're running short on time, but if this team decides to rebuild, you got a lot of big money there that's going to be terrible for that. Like, this team is built as a playoff contender, and, you know, I think that, they've if they don't make the change, they're screwed this year, and if they don't make the change quickly.
Yeah. No, and you look at, like, Kadri, Uyghur, and Huberto, like, they all play, well, the two forwards, they play in a similar way. So it's fairly easy to tailor a system to, you know, those are your two premier guys. You need to tailor your system to those guys. And, you know, and we're not seeing that right now. And unless things change, like, this team is going to be bad. And, you know, like, the Flames, you know, how do you say, like, when Kadri first came up with Toronto, they played a very north-south game. And he was not very good there. He went to Colorado where they play a more east-west game, and he really flourished. And, you know, it's one of those where the Flames just are not doing the right things. And, this team could suck for a very long time if they don't figure things out soon. And it's not like the personnel's bad. You know, like, you have enough guys where they know how to play hockey. And, like, this, there is absolutely no reason for this team to miss the playoffs. But unless things change, that's where it's headed.
Well, Matt, let's leave it there. Let's see if they can maybe start to turn things around in the next 10 games or not. Any other Flames topics you want to discuss this week?
Once again, best wishes to Chris Snow and his family. Hoping that he gets better in time for Christmas and just recovers enough to get out of the hospital and all of that. Because, you know, just especially the time of year,
exactly.
It's very tough, you know, on anybody to have a relative who's not doing well. So, you know, I just best wishes to them, and hopefully, you know, some positive news starts happening on that front.
All the best to the Snow family. And we should let our fans know this is going to be our last official show of 2022. We're taking some time off over the holidays. Weird schedule with the Flames anyways. And we'd rather you spend time with your families than listening to Matt and I talking Flames for a couple weeks. So there might be something that we're going to do. We may work with our friends over at Shifts and Pucks or guest star on some other podcasts or something like that. But this will be the last official Fireside Chat for the two of us for 2022. So keep an eye on social media. We are, of course, twitter.com/firesidepodcast, facebook.com/firesidechat, youtube.com/firesidechat. Those are the three main places that if we're doing something or if you can listen to us, we will post it. But Matt, we've got six games really between now and the new year, and most of them on the road. It's a big California road trip this week. Two games against San Jose, Sunday and Tuesday. This is the first of the sort of weird scheduling we're seeing. Like, when was the last time you saw us play the same team twice in like 3 days?
I know. It's always weird when it's not a home and home. We've had long distance home and home series. Like, 1 year we played Minnesota on back to back nights there and here, which was a weird one. It's just very bizarre to, like, oh, we're just gonna hang out.
Yeah, and we got another one of these in St. Louis in early January.
Yeah, it's like we'll just hang out in the city for a bit.
You know what, though, as a player, you'd probably rather hang out in California, get some golf in, than, you know, hang out in St. Louis.
Yeah, true.
And especially before Christmas, I can maybe see some guys taking their family on this trip. But it'll be a good week for the Flames, hopefully. There's some teams here that should be beatable. San Jose, maybe Anaheim, but definitely San Jose. But mind you, we said that about Columbus. We said that about Montreal. So who knows what we'll get out of this week.
Yeah, well, frankly, like, this team just needs to start stockpiling some wins. Like, it's getting to a point where it's like, who cares how you do it? Just get it done. And, you know, frankly, out of the remaining games, like, the Flames should win most of them. But, you know, we should have won most of the games the last 2 weeks, too.
That's true.
And, you know, not the case. So, this would be a perfect time for the patented December 7-game winning streak to end the year, but we'll see.
I think the big game here that I think everyone's going to be excited about is on the 27th when the Edmonton Oilers come here. And that Battle of Alberta is always interesting. Interesting that our last two home games this month are against our two regional rivals. But, Matt, we'll let everyone know exactly when we're going to be back. It'll be sometime in early January, and hopefully you and I can be talking about some wins here.
Yeah. Have fun in Mexico, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all of our listeners, and just hope everybody has a good holiday season. And as always, go Flames, go.
Fireside Chat is hosted by Dan Stevenson, co-hosted by Matt DeBorg. This episode produced and edited by Peter Marino. Fireside Chat is licensed under Creative Commons license. For full license details, visit firesidechat.ca.